Meteors. Giant snowballs of rock and ice hurtling through space, sometimes for billions or maybe even trillions of years.
Scientists say the ice in these meteors may contain clues to the creation of our universe, or even signs of life beyond our planet.
When meteors strike our atmosphere and burn up, we call them shooting stars and make a bedtime wish.
But when they strike the Earth, we call them meteorites. And one meteorite in particular, one that's about to strike the playground at Parkside Elementary, is about to become the stuff of a waking nightmare.
What was that?
I don't know.
Let's go look. What is it?
I don't know.
Looks like a meteorite.
Oh, wow. Ew, what are those things crawling on it?
I don't know.
Let's eat them.
Okay, ready? Go.
Me too. Hey, Randy. Hey, Cheryl. Do you want to play Barbies? I've got a better game!
What's that?
Cannibals!
Yeah, let's play cannibals.
I've never played that before. What's cannibals?
Hey, get off! Stop!
Mom's calling for dinner. I'm not very hungry.
While these children are about to make the most of dinner, most of America's still safe, completely unaware of what's coming. Like Rachel and Brad, walking home late at night.
Nice of you to walk me home from work, Brad. Makes me feel like a real lady.
Oh, Rachel, I'd do anything to be around you.
But what about Marcia?
She's nothing to me, Rachel. Nothing. You're the only thing that matters.
Oh, Brad.
Midnight. I should go.
Back to Marcia?
I'm breaking it off with her.
For me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Brad. I love you. Say it. Say you love me, too.
I'll say it when I see you tomorrow, Rachel.
Rachel and Brad's romance was on a fast track. So was the spread of mad dog fever.
Randy, help Cheryl wash her hands and come to the dinner table. What did you say to me? Don't get smart with me, young man. Now you've got your sister doing it. Both of you knock it off right now and go wash your hands. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Knock it off. I have had enough. And after all I do for you, if you bark at me one time. What are you doing?
Good evening from News Center 4. I'm Bob Peeler, and this is the news. Scientists and government officials are working overtime tonight trying to figure out what's making citizens of a small town in Iowa behave like dogs. We go now to Martina Grove, who is on the ground in Iowa. Martina?
Thanks, Bob. 2 days ago, the citizens of Homestead, Iowa, were looking forward to the annual Chicken Fry and Corn Sculpture Festival. Today, they're locked in their homes, neighbors viewing each other with deep suspicion, all afraid they might catch something locals are calling mad dog fever. Here with me is Dr. Emmett Lester, a local physician. Dr. Lester, what can you tell us about the situation here in Homestead?
Well, I can tell you to get the hell out of town.
Sir?
fast as you can. Stay away from the locals, and for God's sake, don't let anyone bite you.
So, the citizens of Iowa are in danger?
Iowa? Are you dim? The whole world's in danger. If this gets out of Iowa County, there's no stopping it.
Dr. Lester was right. Somebody let the mad dog fever out of Iowa, and it began to spread. First to Chicago.
I got two Chicago dogs, one no sport peppers, Dr. Pepper, and old style. Hey, you want fries? Oh my God, what is that?
Then Boston.
Hey, you can't park that car here.
Even Los Angeles.
Okay, I want a half cup coarse grind chai vanilla with almond milk and no foam in a double cup. Oh my God, you are totally breathing on me.
You are totally breathing on her, creeper.
Eventually, and faster than you'd think, mad dog fever made it all the way to West Texas.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I can see that Reggie is dead, all right. You say he was acting strangely, Alice?
Yes, Sheriff. Reggie was just... Oh, something just wasn't right, Sheriff. Never seen him like that in 23 years of marriage.
Well, what kind of not right?
It sounds crazy, but he was barking, foaming at the mouth, like a rabid dog.
And so you shot him.
I am a Texan, Sheriff.
Of course. And you know what, Alice? I'd have done the same. Did you keep the brass for reloading?
Why, Sheriff John Maxwell, what do you take me for, some kind of California liberal?
Oh, I'm just doing my job, Alice.
Mad dog fever even made its way to the campus of College University.
Oh, Brad, this is so much better than chemistry class.
Oh, no. I have to go, Rachel.
Who was that? Was it Marcia?
I'm supposed to meet her on the quad.
What? I thought you were dumping her.
Well, I will. What the f***? You bit me.
Pleasure and pain are two sides of the same coin, Brad.
I am bleeding.
Go. Go find Marcia. Maybe I'll still be here when you get back.
Okay, I'm going. You're crazy.
Don't you like it?
Kinda, yeah.
Then go.
But Brad didn't go directly to Marcia. First, he went for a walk to clear his head, smell the flowers, and chase some balls, and look for some things to pee on.
Sorry I'm late.
I texted you 10 times, Brad.
I'm sorry, Marcia.
I made you a TikTok.
I know I'm late. I'm really sorry.
I even left you a voicemail. Our generation doesn't do that, Brad.
My battery died. What do you want me to do?
Were you with her?
No. I just kept getting distracted.
Brad, I've been sitting on this bench watching people walk by in the quad since 2 o'clock. It's 3:30.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just I don't feel like myself, Marcia. And we have to talk.
Oh, no.
I've been wandering around, but with no particular destination. And,
Yes?
You're gonna think this is weird.
Here it comes. It's Rachel, isn't it? You're dumping me for Rachel.
What? No, nothing like that.
Then what?
I can smell everything.
You can smell...
I know. It's weird. Like right now, I know you're ovulating.
Ew.
And so is that woman over there and her too. And that guy in the pink shirt just ate a mushroom pizza. He's gonna pay for that later. And that guy, see him way over there across the quad?
Yeah.
He's carrying about an ounce of weed.
And you smell this?
It's freaking me out.
Yeah. you're not alone. Here, I thought you were gonna say you wanted to see other people.
Oh, no. Don't be ridiculous, Marcia.
Oh, woo. Good. I'm glad.
I do feel a pretty strong urge to hump things, though.
We're going to see my professor. Right now.
What? Why?
Haven't you been listening to the news, Brad? People are turning into dogs. I think you might be, too.
Yeah, but that's in Iowa. We're perfectly safe here in Illinwolf.
What did you just say?
I said woof. Woof.
Woof?
No, woof.
Okay, we're going to see my professor right now.
Woof. 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 Woof.
Brad, heel. Woof. Heel.
You're right, Marcia. Woof. This behavior is out of character for Brad. Or any human. Luckily, I still have this temporary jail cell in my lab from my last experiment.
Dr. Lumiere, you're a world-famous virologist. Why do you need a jail cell?
Let's not get bogged down in details, Marcia. Here, throw this ham sandwich into the cage.
Brad. Here, Brad. Want a tasty sandwich?
The gate. Quickly now.
Dr. Lumiere and his protege, Marcia, work deep into the night, trying to understand Brad's illness.
Will Brad be all right, Doctor?
I hope so, Marcia. I don't understand this disease. While the proteins in his blood work are elevated and there's some kind of viral load, the only thing that's truly unusual is this bite mark on Bradley's arm. It looks like a human bite.
Oh?
Do you know anything about this? Marcia, there's no shame in human sexuality. If you and Bradley are exploring the boundaries of your relationship, far be it from me to judge.
Dr. Lumiere? No, no! I'd never do anything exciting with Bradley. That's not what I meant. What I mean is I think he's been cheating on me with Rachel Mason.
Then you need to go find her.
What? No. Do I have to?
In the name of science, Marcia, I'm afraid so. Bring her back here if you can.
Marcia knew exactly where to find Rachel. Louie's Malt Shop, where Rachel was a waitress.
Help you?
Is Rachel working today?
Rachel? Nah, she split town.
When was she here last?
Yesterday. She had some big dumb jock-looking guy with her. They were all over each other.
Brad. Tall? Brown hair?
Yeah.
Dreamy blue eyes?
I guess.
Cleft chin?
I don't know what that is.
It's a thing where your chin goes in that... Never mind. That was Brad. I knew it. Where did she go?
How do I know? She came in all weird and asking for her last check. She was on something.
You mean drugs?
Have you met her?
Unfortunately.
Then you know. She's like a pharmacy with legs. She was barking, rolling her eyes, sniffing constantly.
Like a dog?
Yeah, like a dog. That's exactly right. You do know her.
Marcia, good. You're back. Any luck?
Well, I know for sure where Bradley got mad dog fever.
And where would that be?
Ah! Who are you? Where did you come from?
Oh, forgive me. General Huxley, this is my top grad student, Marcia Brookmeyer. Marcia, the general wants to talk about our research.
That was fast.
The federal government is completely on top of this situation, miss. Do you know what's causing this, doctor?
Of course.
You do?
No. What kind of ridiculous question is that? We haven't even started research.
Ah, yes, of course. Okay, then I'll have to call Washington. My cell is dead. Do you have a phone, doctor?
Certainly. Over there on the wall.
This thing?
Yes.
No, you're putting me on. This can't be a phone. What is this, really?
Are you really a general?
I think. That's what they told me when they put the stars on my suit.
She's just young, Marcia.
Well, so am I, but I can recognize a rotary phone.
I don't know about this. Seems kind of silly. I mean, really, this is too much.
Oh, it's a phone, all right. You put your finger on the number in that wheel and spin it. That's a dial. That's why it's called a dial tone. Try it.
Lighthouse operator.
This is General Huxley. Put me through to the president.
President Unger speaking.
Mr. President, this is General Huxley. I'm here at Dr. Lumiere's lab, and we were...
Bring him in!
But, sir, don't you want to know what the doctor...
I said bring him in!
Mr. President, I strongly suggest...
Quit flapping your lips, Flappy, and bring him in!
Yes, sir.
Attack of the Killer Superbugs from Outer Space will return after this brief word from our sponsor.
Attack of the Killer Superbugs from Outer Space is brought to you by... Coronavirus. Coronavirus. Reminding you that the only ism stronger than capitalism is a single-celled organism. Coronavirus. As American as offshore manufacturing.
How was your flight, Dr. Lumiere? Can I get you anything?
No, thank you.
The president will see you in just a moment.
Thanks.
I always knew I'd see you again.
I'm sorry?
I didn't leave you, you know.
Beg your pardon?
I didn't leave you. I mean, we never said goodbye, but...
I'm sorry, do I know you?
Do you know me? What do you mean, Milo? It's me, Renee, Paris, the Sorbonne.
What about it?
I left Jean-Paul, just as you asked.
Jean-Paul? I have no idea what you're going on.
The president will see you now. I'll still be here when you come out.
Doctor, thanks for coming on such short notice. The president...
Can it, Jerry? Lumi, I'm glad you're here. Where's my pictures?
Pictures, Mr. President?
Pictures. Pictures, what's the situation?
Doctor, the president prefers a visual briefing.
Like a book. A book with pictures. A picture book.
He means a briefing book, sir. We've talked about this,
I want my pictures.
Well, Mr. President, as you may know, I left the lab in quite a rush, and I'm afraid I can only give you a verbal briefing.
Verbal?
Yes, sir.
Like talking?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't like talking.
That's a difficulty for a president, I would think.
Well, I never expected to be here. I didn't think I was going to win.
You could resign.
Resign? That's a good one. Resign! Can I really do that?
No, sir, we've talked about that. And, sir, I don't mean to rush you, but, some of the, rabid dog people are gathering outside the East Wing gates.
Sounds like Secret Service is taking care of things.
I'd better check on that.
So what's the solution, Doc?
Sir?
How do I fix this?
I don't know.
You don't know? How can you not know?
I haven't got any data.
Well, you're the world's leading expert on infectious diseases, huh?
Yes.
A scientist, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, can't you just put some science on this thing?
Not without data. Science without data, Mr. President, is like a sandwich without bread, or meat, or condiments. There's no sandwich, sir. It doesn't exist.
Well, you've got your gut. What does your gut tell you?
My gut tells me I don't have any data, and I'd be stupid to try to offer medical advice to an entire nation in a life-or-death emergency situation without it.
Best guess.
Nope.
Well, how long is it gonna take you to get some of your science?
We haven't even started experiments. I just got my first subject when General Huxley rushed me out of my lab to come here. I shudder to think what's going on there now.
Marcia, here you are. I've been looking all over campus for you.
God, Davy, shh. He's almost asleep.
Have you been here all night? When you didn't come back to the dorm, Wait, is that Brad?
Uh-huh.
He looks different.
Uh-huh.
Why is he in jail? And what's he eating?
A doggy rawhide chew. It's the only way to keep him calm.
You look terrible. And why is there a jail cell in here?
That's the question of the day.
Woof, woof.
Oh, woof, good. Woof, you're still here.
And Brad is still a dog.
Dr. Lemire, I...
Stay back. We must all maintain what I'm calling, for now, bug distance.
Bug distance? Dr. Lemire, what is all this?
I'm not sure yet, but I have a theory.
Attack of the Killer Superbugs from Outer Space will return after this brief word from our sponsor.
Attack of the Killer Superbugs from Outer Space is brought to you by Coronavirus. Coronavirus, the only event big enough to make a billionaire consider buying a conscience.
You said you had a theory, Doctor?
I do, Marcia. I'd like to try an unproven drug on Bradley.
Can I write about it for the school newspaper, call it a cure, and suggest people stockpile this drug, Doctor?
You could, Davy, but that would make you an irresponsible hack and a person who peddles false hopes to the fearful masses in the name of profit.
But, Dr. Lemire, isn't that the American way?
Davy, have a seat.
Ugh, no.
There once was a time, Davy, when being American meant that a person was part of something bigger than himself. A time when the phrase American ideals meant things like truth and justice and doing the right thing, even if it was costly or impractical. A time when people looked to our country as a beacon of hope, a place where the downtrodden and oppressed from around the globe were welcome and told that, with hard work, there was room here to make their dreams come true. We were the great American melting pot, and we believed in equality and a fair shake, no matter who you were or where you came from. A time when American ingenuity and know-how meant that no problem was too big to solve. A man on the moon? We'll do it in a decade. A time when being a part of a democracy was more important than cheering on your political party like a drunken divorcee at a Super Bowl party. A time when being American meant you were proud to be a thinking, caring leader of the free world.
Cute.
Davy?
Look at this picture Jasper just sent me on Snapchat.
We're doomed.
Davy, we have a huge problem. If we don't find a cure for this, everyone on Earth could turn into dogs. You're so selfish.
Shut up, Marcia.
No, you shut up, Davy.
You shut up, Marcia.
No, you shut up, Davy.
Marcia, no, seriously, shut up.
No, you shut up, Davy.
Yeah.
Well, Marcia melts down, and Davy melts down, and Dr. Lemire patiently waits for Marcia and Davy to finish melting down, things on the intergalactic cruiser Spelnars are just starting to get interesting.
Wait, what?
It's what the script says.
Let me see that.
Right here, melting down.
Intergalactic cruiser. Yeah, okay. But weird, though.
Hey, if you don't mind me asking, how much are you getting paid for this?
Nothing. Jimmy said this was a favor. Wait, are you getting paid for this?
I shouldn't have brought it up. Never mind.
You are getting paid for this. Oh, I knew it. God, when Jimmy called with that whole,
I just need a favor. It'll be great exposure.
Jimmy! Oh, Jimmy, don't you run away from me!
We take you now to the intergalactic cruiser, Spelnars.
Lieutenant Skloge, you told me, no, you promised me that this planet would be ours in less than 48 medium time segments. Here we are, 16 semi-large time segments later. That's 768 medium time segments, Skloge, and the Earth is still swarming with humans! Swarming with humans!
Humans are surprisingly resilient creatures, Commander. Many of them seem to have some reasoning ability. They've taken shelter and are avoiding social contact.
Many of them? Not all of them?
There are some less evolved specimens who appear to reject human science. They are infecting each other exactly as our plan predicted. In other words, Commander, it's working.
But not on all of them. of the humans.
That's true, Commander. The clever ones will require some extra effort on our part.
Do it, Sklog. Do it. I want that planet. I wanted it 768 medium time segments ago.
As you wish, Commander. Releasing the second and third waves now.
Woof! Woof!
No change, Dr. Lumiere.
Davy, you may quote me on this. It is safe to say my unproven drug is a complete failure.
Unproven drug shows some promise. May want to stockpile.
Good gravy! What was that?
Look! Out the window!
News Center 4 interrupts our regularly scheduled program for this breaking news. I'm Bob Peeler. Meteorites are striking the planet in multiple locations. Officials are trying to determine... News Center 4 interrupts our breaking news for this breaking news. I'm still Bob Peeler. Reports of meteorites striking the planet may be a hoax. I've called both my cousin and my mother-in-law. Each looked outside and neither one saw anything. We now return to our regularly scheduled breaking news. The only proven way to stay safe. Also, citizens are encouraged to stay in their homes. Thanks for the update, Sheriff Marshall. I'm Bob Peeler, returning you to Pro Wrestling Ultimate Showdown, Pompano Beach.
Don't get too close.
That's a sexy glow.
It's a meteorite, Davy.
Why is it moving?
The meteor isn't moving, just the stuff on top of it. They're like little worms.
Ew.
That is an excellent observation, Marcia. And a very big clue, I think.
No living creature should be able to survive the incredible heat of a meteor entering the Earth's atmosphere.
Exactly. Very unusual.
So we're under attack from an alien civilization?
That's a pretty big leap there, Davy. Highly unlikely.
Attack report! I want my attack report! Where is Sklog? Sklog! Where's my attack report?
Sorry to keep you waiting, Commander.
Report!
Oh, things are progressing in a most excellent manner, Commander. Infections are rising all across the planet. More and more humans are behaving like dogs.
How much longer, Sklog? How much longer?
I suspected you might ask that. I've prepared a chart. Feast your eye stalks on this. As you can see in the first column, these are the earliest targets. Most of them are now loose on the streets, spreading the infection. They're occasionally eating each other, which I had not anticipated.
What's this little short column? Little one.
Vegetarians. They refuse to eat meat. They keep eating grass and vomiting, which was also unexpected.
I've put the meteor worm sample you collected under the scanning electron microscope, Dr. Lumiere.
And?
There are molecular elements that don't match any known substance on Earth.
Which makes sense.
It does?
It came from space, Davy.
Right.
But all of the molecular elements seem precise. There's no variation, no mutation, no clumps of cells. Almost like someone designed them.
Like an alien civilization.
Shut up, Davy!
Shut up, Marcia.
Let me look at that slide. Good Lord!
What is it, Doctor?
Davy may be right. This looks like alien genetic engineering. I have to call Washington. This is Milo Lumiere. I need to speak with the president.
One moment, please.
How does he know what alien genetic engineering looks like?
If it doesn't look like human genetic engineering, who's gonna do the engineering? Dolphins?
Dolphins are smart, okay?
Lumi, is that you?
Yes, Mr. President. I have news.
I'm sending a plane. Get in here.
Yes, sir. Marsha, there are some handcuffs in that drawer. Put them on Bradley. Davy, you'll find a chain and collar in the closet.
Handcuffs?
Chain and collar?
Don't touch the mask or whips.
Oh, Dr. Lumiere.
Good evening from News Center 4. 2 weeks ago, no one would have imagined an entire nation locked down. But today, that's exactly where we are. Citizens from Seattle to Key West and from Bangor, Maine to San Diego are huddled in their homes, terrified to go into streets. Streets that are swarming with humans acting like wild dogs. We go now to Martina Grove, who is on the ground in Denver, Colorado. Martina?
Thanks, Bob. As our television viewers can see, I'm here at Hyatt Regency in the 10th floor command post of General Albert Huxley. Martial law has been declared in the state of Colorado, and General Huxley is in charge of the effort to secure the population in the Denver metro area. General Huxley, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Martina.
Tell me about the situation on the ground, General.
It's fluid, Martina. Some days it looks like we've got the downtown area secure, and then other days, well, any dog catcher will tell you there's job security. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. General, we're 2 weeks into this, and...
Ooh, hang on! Got him!
You just shot that man!
Yeah, at this distance, that had to be a record.
This is horrifying.
Aw, come on, this is war!
After an uneventful flight, a motorcade whisked Dr. Lumiere and his party to the White House.
Dr. Lumiere, you and your party can wait here.
Thanks.
Milo, darling, I was sure I'd lost you. I see you've brought guests. I beg your pardon. Please, have a seat. The president will be with you shortly.
You know her?
We've met, yes, but I don't think that we agree on the circumstances. Marsha, what is Brad doing?
Marking his territory. Brad, no! Brad, bad! No, stop it! I'm so sorry.
The president will see you now.
Thank you.
And, Milo?
Yes?
When this is over, if... we survive.
Yes?
I want you to meet our son.
What? Look, this is crazy. I think you're crazy. Before this week, I've never met you. I don't know who you are or why you think I'm...
Oh. I remember now.
Oh. Boy, I'd really like to.
Lumi, get in here!
Go. Just go.
Dr. Lumiere, very glad you could join us again.
Can it, Jerry? What you got, Lumi?
Mr. President, this is my research team. Marsha Brookmeyer and Davy Pullman.
What about him?
Woof!
That's Bradley Anderson. He's got the bug.
What? You've brought someone with mad dog fever into the Oval
Office? You son of a...
Security!
You, Lumi!
Security!
Hell.
Calm down! He's not contagious!
He's not?
He's not?
No. This may come as a shock, so prepare yourselves. Mad dog fever is the result of an attack from a hostile alien civilization.
We're being attacked from space.
Yes.
Yes.
I figured it out.
The Earth is being pelted with meteorites contaminated with genetically engineered worms. A person who eats the worm or has been bitten by someone who has eaten the worms becomes infected and eventually...
Woof!
You've got to be kidding me.
I wish we were. If you track the source of the meteorites, you'll see that they all emanate from the same source, about halfway between the Earth and the Moon.
We're being attacked from space? We're being attacked from space? Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Shut your pie hole, Jerry. I can't think.
Hey, Jerry. You wanna go smoke a bowl with me and try and level out?
Oh god, yes. The stairs to the roof are this way.
I have heard some crazy stuff in my time, Lumi, but this is really hard to believe. I mean, this is too much.
If you consult with NORAD, sir, you'll find my research is corroborated.
Get me NORAD on the phone.
That's what the red phone on your desk is for, sir.
This one?
I'm not in there, sir. Is it red?
Yeah.
Then that's the one. U.S. Northcom.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. President.
Who's this?
Lieutenant Colonel Betty Parker speaking, sir.
Is this NORAD?
Yes, sir.
Huh, just checking. Listen, I've got a crackpot here in my office that says we're getting attacked by meteors and that they're all coming from the same place, about halfway between the Earth and the Moon.
I can confirm that's correct, sir. It's classified top secret information, sir, so I have some operational security concerns.
Whatever. I don't know how you arranged this hoax. I don't know how you managed to fool so many people.
Mr. President, I can assure you...
You think I'm an idiot? Huh? You think you can come in here with your science and your big words and make a clown out of me?
Look out! He's got a gun!
Nobody pulls one over on Egbert Killingsworth Unger!
You can kill me, sir, but you'll never kill the truth!
Don't touch me, Lumi!
Grab the gun!
I'm trying! Give me that
get
gun!
Away from
Let
me.
Go!
No!
Stand back, Marcia. Now that I have his gun, I need a clean shot.
He shot Brad!
Don't move, Mr. President. I don't want to, but I will shoot.
You killed him! The president shot Brad! You killed Brad!
It was him or me.
Milo! Why?
Dr. Lumiere, you killed the president's secretary.
She startled me. That's going to be difficult to explain. President Unger, if you will...
Woof.
Mr. President?
Woof.
Marcia, did Brad... Did Brad bite the president?
Mm-hmm.
Good boy, Brad. Good boy.
What do we do now, Dr. Lumiere?
Well, Marcia, we have to convince the world to work on a vaccine. And in the meantime, shut down our economies and outlaw social gatherings to preserve human life.
But, Doctor, people will never do that. Who will listen to a bunch of scientists?
The smart ones will, Marcia.
What about the rest of them?
Nature will take her course, Marcia.
How will it all end? Who will protect us? What is the future of the United States and the world? Maybe our answer can be found in space.
Report! Report! Slow, report!
Sorry, Commander. After watching closely, Commander, I've reached a conclusion.
Yes? And?
I think... If we just let the humans keep doing what they're doing, they'll wipe themselves out with no help from us whatsoever. We just have to be patient.
Well, Lieutenant Sload, though it pains me to admit this, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Or maybe we'll find the answer to human survival in a small town in West Texas.
I'm scared. Please, Mommy, don't let me die. I'm scared.
This is quite a body count, Alice.
As I said, Sheriff, we have an unusually large football team this year.
Yeah, I think you mean had.
One or two may still be wiggling, Sheriff. You watch yourself.
Alice, I can't have you going around shooting up the whole town willy-nilly.
This wasn't premeditationed, John. I was out for my nightly walk when the whole team sprang upon me from out the bushes.
Alice, this is the football field.
Oh? Is it?
Yes.
Difficult to tell in the dark.
Well, what did you think would happen after you shot out the lights? Which, by the way, was quite a feat of marksmanship.
All I know, John Maxwell, is that I was walking along, minding my own business, when I was set upon by a horde of 34 young men intent on doing me harm.
Okay, all right, I'll put it in my report. One last thing.
Yes?
Do you always carry an AR-15 when you're out for a walk at night?
Sheriff!
You're a Texan, right.
Until next time, we remind you, Attack of the Killer Superbugs from Outer Space is brought to you by Coronavirus. Coronavirus, when sheltering in place proves your mother was right. You never should have married that good-for-nothing lazy jerk. See you next time!
Attack of the Killer Superbugs from Outer Space was largely recorded on iPhones by students and faculty of the Sul Ross State University Theater Program as a socially distanced version of the Theater of the Big Bend Summer Theater production. Assistant directed by Stuart Stanley, stage management and Zoom coordination were provided by Emma Morales. Emma also played the mom in scenes 1 and 2. Announcer 1 and Coffee Girl was Kendall Hughes. Announcer 2 and Counter Girl was Sierra Noel. Kids 1, 2, and 3 were Caitlin Allmentz, Abigail Scott, and Jane Scott. Caitlin also played the White House page. Keith Kibbe played Brad the dog, and Desiree Rendon played Rachel. Olivia Pertuso played Marsha Brookmeyer. Dr. Milo Lumiere was voiced by Theseus Francis. Aaliyah Sabor gave us her best Martina Grav, and our newscaster was Gabe Gomez, who also played Jerry, the president's chief of staff. April Crowder was the White House operator and Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Betty Parker. Avery Calloway played Sheriff John Maxwell, and Joanna Barnett was Alice. General Huxley and the Boston parking attendant were delivered by Christy Graves Herrera. Brian Welch played the diner manager and the wounded football player. The president was Jason Roman, and he also gave us the Chicago Hot Dog Guy. Lieutenant Skloge was Stuart Stanley. Dr. Lester was played by Ross Fleming, and both Davey and the President's Secretary were played by Margie Scott. I'm Brett Scott, and I'd like to thank you for supporting Sul Ross Theater, and offer a huge thanks to Martin Benevich and Conley Razor at KVLF for making this show possible. To donate to Sul Ross Theater, go to sulross.edu/theater, that's theater with an R-E at the end, and hit the Donate Now button on the right. Thanks very much for listening.